No, we're not going to talk on gluttony, Barry. We have a short lesson this evening, which is Jerry's fault. If you'll bear with me this evening, I think I've got what Jerry's got. So I thought for it being Christmas Day, everybody's had a full day and tired and stuff, and I didn't think we needed to have a long lesson, and the way my health's been the last couple of days, I wasn't up to a long lesson to begin with. So for a little bit this evening, we just want to talk about the birth of Jesus. You know, this is the time of year when the world gets together and celebrates the birth of Jesus. And we realize as Christians that December 25th is not Jesus' birthday. We realize that. That's not his exact birthday. But this is the time that society has set aside for us to pick that day to be the time that we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you were here Sunday, which I think most of us in here tonight were, you were here Sunday, you remember that Brad had a very good lesson Sunday morning that talked about some of the characteristics of Jesus, but it was as he is an adult in the sacrifice that he made where he was our Lord and Savior. So for just a little while now, we want to talk about the beginning of that time frame. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." You know, we look at Isaiah quite a bit to look at the prophecy that Isaiah makes of Jesus going before Pilate as a lamb dumb before his shears, that he opened not his mouth. And we look at that as the end of time. But you know, it's also here in Isaiah's is prophesied that he would be born of a virgin. Let's go over to Luke. Several readings we'll have out of the book of Luke this evening. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 31. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 31. It says, And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." You can imagine what Mary would be going through to begin with. You know, she's what we would call today, she's engaged to Joseph to be his bride. And yet here's an angel of the Lord comes up and tells her, "So, well, you're going to have a baby, and you need to call his name Jesus." And for a woman that had never known that type of a situation, I'm sure it would have been hard to grasp the full concept of that was going to happen to her, and the full repercussion of that through her seed, mankind was going to have an option for handling the sins that we have in the flesh. Luke chapter 2, starting verse number 1. Says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, it was as it was told unto them. So we can see that the angels came to the shepherds. You know, it's just part of God's plan to get the announcement of Jesus' birth out into the mainstream, out into the world. That Jesus was born in a manger and wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger because there was no room in the inn. So how, I mean, that's the poor of the poor, and how is that supposed to get out in the world without somebody knowing about it? So the angel of the Lord came to the shepherds as they were tending their flocks in the night, and he told them to go and see and then to proclaim the message. And we see as verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So you get that old hair commercial, shampoo commercial, that I used such and such, and I told two friends, and they told two friends, and before you know it, everybody in town's using it. Well, the same thought process applies to this. These three shepherds went back to their homes, and on the way to their homes, they're telling men and women about the birth of the Savior, and how the angels proclaimed it to them, and how they went and saw it for their own selves, and they're proclaiming this and glorifying God, and before you know it, it's all over the country. Everybody realizes that Jesus the Christ is here on the earth, has been foretold. And you can imagine, for those people that were not blinded by the Old Testament prophecies, those people that were truly, with a true and honest heart, looking towards the future, could see this and see that this was the Messiah coming, and would just imagine the hope that they would have, the great joy and hope that they would have in realizing that the Messiah has finally come to the earth. Someone that's been prophesied for generations, and he's finally here. Boy, what great news. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government should be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So we know from God's word and from the prophecies given to him that he would be Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the praise that man would give to him because of all the things that he would fulfill as he came to this earth. And we're not going to get into the things that he fulfilled as an adult. I think Brad covered that pretty well this last Sunday. We just want to talk a little bit into his early life, his birth and his early life. Romans chapter 5, verse 11 says, And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. So we joy through God in God through Jesus by the avenue that we have for atonement for our sins. Without Jesus' birth on this life, without him willing to come to this world as a physical being and to live and set an example for us to follow and then to freely give that life upon the cross, we have no hope. What joy we might find in this life is fleeting, would be thin at the best. might be short-lived, but yet through Jesus we have a joy unspeakable because we realize that it not only gives us joy in this life, but it leads us to the life in the future to come. One last verse for the evening, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 says, "Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." You know, we haven't seen Jesus, yet we believe. And it says we haven't seen him at all, but in love and faith we believe that he came to this earth and lived and died for our sins. And that's what gives us the joy that gets through this life. And it's not, for us as Christians, it's not simply at Christmas time that we should have this joy in our lives as Christians. It should be an each and every day situation in our lives, because without Jesus paying the ultimate price for all of our sins, then we have no hope, we have no joy in this life. And it should be something that brings us joy each and every day of our lives, not just during the time of Christmas time. I'll leave the lesson with you this evening. Pray the things we studied about beneficial for you this evening. If there's any subject to the gospel call, we'd ask you to come forward while we stand and sing the song Been Selected.